right?
I'm doing this. You ready to go? What's up? This is Movies On Up. On July 15th, they're coming to your wedding with or without invitations. You've downloaded our podcast, so you've given my co-host, Mr. Dave Bacella.
Crash your ears.
Yep, you've given him permission to come into your ears. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. Come into your ears. Ooh. We are Movies On Up. On July 15th, they're coming to your wedding with or without invitations. It's a very long tagline. It's a very obvious one. If you think you know that that comes from Wedding Crashers, you can send your guests, which should probably be Wedding Crashers, to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us weddingcrashersmoviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave Wedding Crashers on our Facebook page, which is found at facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet Wedding Crashers at us on the Twitter @moviesonup. If you do any of those things with Wedding Crashers and we choose you, a prize package will crash its way to your mailbox.
I hate that movie.
I'm not a giant fan of it either, but I think when you talk to people our age about wedding movies,
that's going to be the first one.
Yeah, that's going to be the first one that comes to mind.
Even though that's a really small part of it, really.
Yes, but it is in the title, and I think everybody's familiar with weddings, and people our age, actually maybe a little bit younger than our age now, are getting married, and that's kind of a funny thing. This week is Valentine's Day. We've done manly chick movies last year, or like man rom-coms or something. We've done movies, but we are a stupid list podcast. Back to our roots. So this week, we're going to do a stupid list.
Best Anna Kendrick movies one year.
Well, that's not stupid. This year, we are going to do a stupid list of movies that involve wedding. You know, like Wedding Crashers. If somebody wanted to put that on the list, I wouldn't argue with them. They don't spend a ton of time actually at weddings in that movie, or as much as you think they do. I guess when you love somebody, you get married. So love, marriage, they go together like horse and carrots. So this week is our five favorite movies that have something to do with weddings.
Weddings.
Yeah.
I just look it through. Last year, we just disregarded Valentine's Day.
Oh,
like it never happened.
Some real romantic people.
The year before that was Pitch Perfect 2.
Because we loved the first one.
Yeah. And then the year before that, we did Rocket Science. So we did Anna Kendrick movies.
Well, yeah.
We had an Andrew Kendrick theme.
And every year, I suggest Bellflower, and it gets shot down in flames.
Yeah. Yeah. The flamethrower that's in the movie for like 2 seconds. Yeah, we're off the rails already.
Yep.
Much like our lives.
Indeed. I'm getting back on the rails with Dave, your fifth favorite movie that involves a wedding to some degree.
Mine features the build-up to a wedding and whether or not you're with the right person or even with the right sex in 1997's In-N-Out, directed by Frank Oz, starring Kevin Kline, Joan Cusack, Tom Selleck, Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon winning an Oscar for Best Actor. He played a gay soldier. The whole small town of Indiana that he grew up on is watching, including his drama teacher, Kevin Kline. Greatest moment of his life when he's thanked in an Oscar speech. And then worst moment of his life when the kid outs him as gay, despite not being gay and being engaged to Joan Cusack with a wedding just around the corner. It's one of those fun 90s comedies where it's Tom Selleck's the reporter that goes, Hollywood news and gossip crashes down on the town as they're trying to prepare for a wedding, and he does start to think, maybe I am. Maybe I'm the last one to know. It's classic Kevin Kline. I think this is the Kevin Kline movie.
That is Kevin Kline-iest.
It is the Kevin Kline-iest movie. There are movies where you watch, this is made for him. Like, if you didn't know better, you would think, like, he either wrote this for himself or somebody that knows him really well. It feels like he was made for this role, and this role was made for him. And that goes throughout the whole movie. Joan Cusack, Tom Selleck are perfectly cast. Even Matt Dillon is like the best actor winner. That part's a stretch. But is this Hollywood big shot? Is great. Bob Newhart, Wilford Brimley, a bunch of Sean Hattasy, Debbie Reynolds. Like, the cast in this is great.
Wilford Brimley.
Frank Oz. I mean, he did some great movies in the 90s-ish.
He did, yeah.
In-N-Out's one of them. And builds up to the wedding.
Of that era, when you think of rom-coms, I think that's one that kind of comes to mind. And it's one of the better ones. You know, it's not ridiculously sappy. I think if you're a dude, that's not what you're there for. Like, it's not a bad movie, honestly.
It's funny. It's funny as hell. Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, just kind of looking through at least my first couple. These are probably both movies that were on my list last year because I like them. Romantic comedies do tend, a lot of them have something to do with weddings. That's a very important thing for some folks. You could make the argument that if it takes you 5 years to get married, then maybe it's not as important to our lead characters in Nicholas Stoller's The Five-Year Engagement from 2012. And those leads are Jason Segel and Emily Blunt, also starring with Chris Pratt and Alison Brie. I love this movie because it gives us the on-screen couple that we didn't know we needed in Alison Brie and Chris Pratt. I would absolutely love to watch a spinoff movie about Alex and Susie. Blunt and Segel aren't bad either. And I think they're the right kind of actors to play leads in a rom-com like this. Despite the fact that it's only produced by Judd Apatow, I do think it suffers from that Apatow plague of being about 30 minutes too long. It's 30 minutes of the guy and the girl who we desperately want to be together, living separate lives, and it feels unfulfilling. I don't think anyone buys for a second that Tom and Violet aren't going to find a way to make things work. They're each presented with a handful of opportunities to drive the final nail in the coffin of their relationship, but they never do. So we sit there with the rom-com inevitability for seemingly the entire 5 years of their courtship. When they do get together, I mean, their chemistry is really good. You have to have chemistry for these movies to work. Both couples had it. But I really like Jason Segel leading these kind of movies. As a guy watching a romantic comedy, I will watch a Jason Segel one because I like him and he doesn't scream douche to me.
My number four is also somebody who I will watch movies starring this guy from 1991. I think if you bring up wedding movies, I think one of the ones that would come to a lot of people's minds, maybe within the first five or six movies, is Father of the Bride, starring Steve Martin, Diane Keaton, Kimberly Williams, Kieran Culkin, Martin Short, BD Wong. This is Steve Martin. This is slightly past peak Steve Martin, but this is still movie star Steve Martin, period. And I love movie star Steve Martin. He had an awesome run in the 80s into the 90s. I really, really love Steve Martin. And this is one of those, it's a more grounded Steve Martin movie where he still gets to be Steve Martin. He still gets to be this nervous father who doesn't want to give up his daughter, but he is. And it's just a fun...
He's like the funny version of what you assume every dad is going through.
Yeah.
When your daughters inevitably get married, this is what you're going to be like.
Probably, because I like Steve Martin and I try to emulate him in everything I do. I didn't like the sequel as much, but Father of the Bride, I'm into.
My number two, I'm also into. You might even say that I love it. It's John Hamburg's I Love You Man from 2009, starring Paul Rudd, Jason Segel. There's that man again, and Rashida Jones. This one, not necessarily as much about the wedding. It's about the lead up to the wedding and the trying to find the best man for the wedding. And as much as I loved Brat, that's what I'm calling the inevitable coupling of Brie and Pratt, although I get it, she's married, but he's not. Maybe they'll just wait each other out. I really like the chemistry between Regal. Maybe this is skewed by my perspective, but it seems to me that movies centered around weddings seem to be somewhat female-focused. Maybe that's not a really long limb. I don't know. Maybe that, in addition to the two leads, is what seems to stand out here. The man is the main character. Rashida Jones is the bride. She's third billed. This movie could easily be about a guy trying to find a male friend just to balance his social life a little. But having that best man aspect gives it like a deadline. He's got to have a best friend by this particular time. And I guess it's sort of plausible. I don't know what else you'd manufacture. Boy, I have to have a bro to go on vacation with me or I don't get this free vacation. I don't know. But at least the best man thing is somewhat plausible. It's a buddy movie. The buddies meet each other and their sole reason for their buddy courtship is that one of them is getting married. But you don't really dwell too much on the actual marriage. It's a movie about getting married that's made for guys and there just aren't that many of those.
This movie, I love it. Zero conflict. The closest is I bought some billboards for him.
Right. She doesn't necessarily love him, but you know.
Like this, there's this zero conflict. I love it. Andy Samberg, the Thomas Lennon cameos are great. And what an odd collection of groomsmen.
The Thomas Lennon one is, you almost feel like you don't want to mention it because when he shows up, it's fantastic.
I love this movie. It was on my radar, but I didn't go on. From best man to Terrible Men from 1998, written and directed by Peter Berg. My number three is Very Bad Things, starring Johnny Favreau, Leland Orser, Christian Slater, Jeremy Piven, Daniel Stern, and Cameron Diaz. Bachelor party goes wrong type thing, and then a lot more goes wrong. This movie is dark. I think that's a very big understatement to call it a dark comedy. It goes off the rails. It's not just we accidentally kill a hooker and let's go from there. No, it's let's kill a lot of people. Christian Slater is great in this movie. I just remembered Peter Berg as the dude from, what was that movie, Aspen Extreme? Like, that was my Peter Berg. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes out. And it's like, I like this. I could see him as a quality director. And then he went on to do Battleship and other good. He did good stuff, though.
Yeah, the Taylor Kitsch follow-up to Battleship. Yeah,
I like Hancock. And this was a good, I believe it was his directorial debut. I don't care enough to look it up. But Very Bad Things, very dark movie that leads up to a wedding. Or supposed to.
My number three does have quite a bit to do with weddings, and wedding is in the title of Frank Caracci's 1998 classic. I'll call it a classic. Adam Sandler classic. The Wedding Singer, starring the aforementioned Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, and Christine Taylor. 1998 is Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Waterboy era Sandler. This was a bit of a change-up for him. Admittedly, it follows like that formulaic boy meets girl. Boy gets girl to realize they like each other more than the folks they're currently with, spend the rest of the movie trying to end their current courtships, and end up together. Despite how difficult I actually made that sound, it's a premise I'm sure you've seen before. And in this movie, I honestly think Sandler is the standout. Drew Barrymore is fine as that quirky love interest, but that's a thing that she's done many times in her career, a couple times opposite Adam Sandler. But I think he kind of broke type here with a more traditional rom-com, one that manages to appeal not only to fans of that genre but Sandler fans as well. And I was as big of a Sandler fan in that era. I mean, certainly that was the height of me and Adam Sandler, but I mean, I still like Billy Madison and The Waterboy. I still watch those movies to this day, but I did not feel let down by this movie. Oh, he sold out to make... No, he didn't. Like, it was still an Adam Sandler romantic comedy that managed to do both of those things really, really well. And I think that Robbie as a character was a good use for his skills. He was goofy. He got the chance to sing and even stick his toe a little bit into actual acting. I don't rewatch this as much as I rewatch, you know, the three movies that I mentioned before. But if it's on, I would certainly watch it. I find it enjoyable for what it is, and I enjoy that song that he sings slash yells.
I'm going to do a little bit of an audible. This was my number one, but for continuity's sake, we'll put it as my number two, so I'll just keep talking about it. This is my favorite, and it's not even close, Adam Sandler comedy. I'm not going to put it above Punch Drunk Love, his favorite Adam Sandler movie, but from this era, Adam Sandler, I think this movie is leaps and bounds better than everything else. Billy Madison, great debut. Here's this guy from SNL that, can he carry a movie? Yeah, he did. Happy Gilmore, more the same. Right. Not as much as Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, the same, but I think Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore are different enough, but the same enough. And then we transition into character Adam Sandler. That's where I started to lose. I don't like The Waterboy. I don't like Little Nicky. I don't like these movies where he's this character. This is like a middle ground.
This and Big Daddy are him just
Big,
like...
Big Daddy's probably right behind this for me. Yeah. Because Big Daddy is the most grounded.
Yeah.
I think this is the perfect balance between goofy Adam Sandler and grounded Adam Sandler. Because it is kind of grounded. He's not as wild as Little Nicky or The Waterboy or even Happy or Billy Madison. But he gets to be goofy. He gets to be crazy in this not fantastical world. Those aren't grounded movies. And I don't think people go to Adam Sandler movies for the realism. This mixed it all. Big Daddy did too, but Big Daddy was more towards the grounded side. This is like a nice balance between... And of all Adam Sandler movies, I've seen this one the most. This is one that I would rewatch over and over again. If I see it on, I'm putting it on. I really love this movie. I love him in it. I love Barrymore. I love Christine Taylor. It's just, it's really funny. It's cute. It's heartwarming. It's charming. It's everything you don't expect from an Adam Sandler movie. in an Adam Sandler movie. And it works perfectly.
I would agree with all that. My number two is a movie that I've talked about a ton, even recently. And sometimes I've tried to leave movies off lists that I've talked about recently. But I don't think that this is one that immediately comes to mind when you think of weddings. Because it's not about a wedding. They're not really at a wedding until the climax of the movie, the very end of the third act.
Forces of Nature?
No. In Mike Nichols' The Graduate from 1967, starring Dustin Hoffman and Bancroft and Catherine Ross. Seeing Dustin Hoffman fend off wedding goers and barring a church door with a cross, I think it's just fantastic filmmaking. It's not like the best church fight scene I've ever seen. I would say Kingsman probably slightly nudges this out. But what I do love the most is kind of the journey that we follow Ben and Elaine through. When they finally get together, they look like they're having a good time, and then the whole thing comes out of, I fucked your mom. That doesn't go over well, as you might imagine. Then he spends the third act trying to get her back and shows up at the wedding to do so. But even after these two star-crossed lovers manage to get together and they break free from her parents, the crowd, Ben's own creepiness of having fucked this girl's mom, you'd think that we're headed for a happily ever after. And that's not exactly what Nichols gives us. The final shot of the movie paints this very clear picture of a couple kids who think they may each have just done something that they would very soon regret for what they think love is. Maybe things end up going better than that, but who knows? It is Ben's coming-of-age story where, in the end, I'm not really sure he did that much maturing. He just, I think, made a spontaneous act that I think maybe his heart was in the right place. But I love the fact that we just don't know. So many of these movies about weddings, and I don't mean to sound overly cynical, it may not surprise you to hear that I'm not married. But I kind of like that, where there is uncertainty. In most of these movies, and you're five, in and out. Kevin Kline's not sure if not only he's marrying the right person, but what his orientation is. So there is a little bit of doubt throughout most of that movie. But by the time we get to the end, we're pretty well locked up that our two leads are with the person they're supposed to be with. And I love the fact that in The Graduate, you're not sure.
Yeah, this is one of those quote-unquote happy endings where the characters get what they want.
What they think they want.
Yeah, what they want in that moment. Yeah. But what they want is stupid kids stuff that's not best for them. It's one of the most odd happy endings because the credits roll and you're just like, I almost feel sorry for them.
If you're not watching, I feel like you just see them on the back of a bus and you're like, oh, that's great. They're eloping.
Yeah.
No.
No, they're not. My number one, now number one.
Recently promoted.
You know, things can go wrong at weddings. Things can go extra wrong at the reception. You know, somebody gets too drunk, you spill something on the dress, zombie outbreak. That's what happens in Rec 3 from Paco Plaza in 2012. It is the third installment of the Rec series, Rec 3 Genesis, the Spanish language zombie series that I believe there was a fourth. The fourth one was the plane one, wasn't there?
Think so. That wasn't two. Two was the sequel. And then there
yes,
was,
two was the yeah, sequel. There was third, the wedding. Three was the third one.
Yes, it was. That's how this works, even in Spanish.
Rec 3, it's zombie outbreak at a wedding. I summed it up for you. It's a blast. It's a good time. It's a lot of fun. Rec jumped on the scene. It was remade for American language as Quarantine, where it was in that found footage news crew where it was confined to a building. This one does a cool job of tying that one to this one, which it didn't need to. Just give me zombie movies wherever. Put one on a plane in a wedding. Put one in a building. I don't care. Just throw me zombie movies. Rec 3 was fun. It was a quality zombie movie that took place at a wedding.
My number one is a movie that I don't think we've ever talked about on this show before, and we may never talk about again. But I started thinking about romantic comedies, and I've put in sort of my version of those. But my number one, I believe, depending on how old you are, is either your grandparents' favorite rom-com or maybe even your great-grandparents' favorite rom-com. It is from 1940. It's The Philadelphia Story, directed by George Cukor, starring Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, and Jimmy Stewart. as far as movie stars go in that era, it doesn't get much bigger than Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart. Katharine Hepburn at that point in her career was not the star she once was. She was, I don't want to say she was at like Nicolas Cage levels of, oh my God, this person's still getting roles, but maybe the 1940s equivalent of that. But having these two stars in this movie really kind of helped relaunch her career. She divorces Cary Grant at the beginning of the movie to marry John Howard. Jimmy Stewart's dispatched to cover the wedding for a gossip magazine. The next thing you know, you've got not just a love triangle, but like a love square on top of a triangle. Some real love geometry working here. It's like taking a love triangle and an altered decision and turning it up to 11. So not only do you have the, am I marrying the right person? Like it literally goes down to they're about to walk out and then, well, I have to choose. Movies from the 40s typically don't hold up all that well, but I think this script is actually really well done. A lot about comedies and romantic comedies has changed in the 80 years since this movie's come out. But I think it is one of the easier ones from that time to get through. And I do think that's because of the leads that I think people still recognize. Even if you only recognize Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life once a year, people still know who he is. And I think the script is still, it's still good. It's not a foreign language. Like I said, this is one that if you find an old timer on the street, I guarantee you they know and love this movie.
Yeah, I just want to touch base on the wreck. Okay. Wreck 1 and 2, both in the same building.
Right.
Wreck 2, they follow up. Wreck 3 is Wedding. Wreck 4 is the ocean liner,
oh,
the shipper.
Okay.
The plane was Quarantine 2. Oh,
I see.
So I got the Spanish language and the American remakes mixed up.
That's easy to do.
But yeah, so did you have any also-rans?
I did. When I'm thinking about The Graduate trying to stop a wedding, Princess Bride comes to mind. I love that movie. Melancholia, I love. That starts with a wedding. It's fantastic. Table 19 was funny from last year. Yeah. I give it a year. I was like, well, I'm not going to put it on my list because Dave will have it on his.
I didn't even think of it as a wedding movie.
Yeah, I know.
I guess it is. Yeah, that would have been my number one.
Sure.
Over Wreck Zombies. Was it Wedding Zombies?
As soon as you started saying like things can go wrong at the reception, I'm thinking of the best man speech. And I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, this is it.
No.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, I didn't think of it as a wedding movie because that's the year after.
Sure.
Now I just want to go back and do that. I had a couple of like powerhouse performances. Muriel's Wedding, the Toni Collette one where she's phenomenal. And then Anne Hathaway, I believe she got nominated for an Oscar for Rachel Getting Married.
I think she did, yeah.
Those are just two like really good wedding ones. And I know I missed some, obviously.
There's a lot,
yeah.
That's just kind of whatever struck our fancy at this point. I don't think I missed anything because...
Oh, it's the Kevin Hart, Josh Gad one. The Best Man for Hire movie. Wedding Ringer.
What about Hitch? You like that?
I love Hitch, but I don't think of it as a wedding movie.
I guess, well...
Is there a wedding in it?
Wasn't that his deal? Like, he's hooking people up to get married?
I mean, he's helping them find love. He's a love coach, love doctor.
Whatever. Seemingly, we are married to discussing Marvel movies ad nauseum, and there is a Marvel movie coming out next week. It is the Black Panther, so we'll be running down our five favorites from that cast, and there are a lot of amazing...
Not even five favorite. We're going to go through the list.
Oh, okay.
Through the cast.
All
we're
right.
going to pick our favorite movie each from everybody on the poster.
From okay, I see. Like, the first five build people will pick a Michael B. Jordan movie.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody
so
on the
so
poster.
Forth.
I think there's seven or eight of
okay.
them.
All right.
So
maybe Dave will have to run me down who's on the poster and then I'll pick. But that should be fun to do. Are we collectively picking one or one each?
One each.
That'll be a lot of
There'll
movies.
Probably be some crossover, but
maybe.
Yeah.
There won't be any crossover in our Michael B. Jordan movie. I'll tell you that right now.
Probably not.
To find out what that is, if you haven't been listening to this show for a couple years, come back next week. But until then,
keep it up.
It's Chronicle.